People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Fine Music Radio, and the program is People of Note. Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you. And the Fugard Theatre's spectacular production of West Side Story has returned to the Artscape Opera House, and I was lucky enough to go to the opening and was completely blown away by the singing, acting, dancing sets, the orchestra, the Cape Town Philharmonic, in this most wonderful musical by one of my musical heroes, Leonard Bernstein. In the lead role of Tony is the American Kevin Hack, who apparently has performed this role in almost 60 countries. And in fact, during this very run, Kevin will sing his 500th performance as Tony. Kevin, welcome to Fine Music Radio.
Thank you very much.
Do you get tired of it? That's the first question I want to ask.
Not going to lie, I was tired of it on the tour last year. I did the tour from from November 2016 until January 2018, like right before I came here.
Gosh, that's a long, long run.
Yeah, so I did get tired of it at the end, you know, more towards the end. And then we had a bit of a vacation, and then I came back to it after 6 weeks, and I was enjoying it again. Just want to go back to what you said about 60 countries. I've been to 60 countries. I've only performed West Side in about 20. Okay. Well, now 21.
But still, why have you been to 60 countries?
Well, I started working on cruise ships when I was 22. And the first ship I did was a luxury cruise liner that was doing huge voyage from Tokyo, Japan, all the way to Stockholm, Sweden. So I saw like 40-something countries there. Yeah, so that definitely contributed a lot to my travels.
Kevin, can I ask you at this early stage of the interview, and you're welcome to say no, how old you are?
I'm 25.
You're 25?
Yeah, okay. I'll be 26 in September.
And how old were you when you first got the role of Tony?
Oh, when I first got Tony, I was the alternate Tony on the Broadway National Tour in 2013 and 2014. So that means I played Tony like 2 to 3 times a week. But I guess if you want to say that, I was 21 when I did that tour.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Which was a great learning experience.
And then so you had this long tour where you said you got a bit bored with it. Fortunately, you came back. How did you end up coming to South Africa?
So I didn't hear anything about this production until I had I was in the Philippines performing with the show. And this was right before my vacation, and my manager sent me an email saying, "Hey, I got this message from a director in Cape Town, South Africa. They're doing a huge production of West Side Story, and they were interested in seeing you for it." I was like, "Oh, okay, that's cool." And then I started looking it up a little bit, and then I learned a little bit more about the production, and that I would be taking over the role from one of the actors who could not, you know, do the show that coming season.
That was Jonathan Ross.
Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah, and I haven't met him yet, so I mean, I've seen videos. He's great, but I sent them a video, and I sent them a video of me singing Maria and Something's Coming, and did a couple scenes, like the most important scenes in the show, I guess, for Tony, and then. I had a chat with Matthew Wilde, the director, via FaceTime, and we just kind of hit it off, and he told me a little bit about the show, and it's very, very different from what I just did, and I got here and learned that it was very, very different from what I just did, and here I am, and I'm very, very happy to be here.
So what did you think when you were offered an opportunity to come all the way down this far south to Cape Town?
It was just another travel opportunity, you know? Okay. There wasn't a doubt in my mind that I wanted to do this, because I was like, oh, you know, I definitely have wanted to go to Cape Town in my life. And I definitely wanted to, yeah, like I said, I wanted to come down to Cape Town, and I just never saw it happening, because it's, you know, where I'm from, it's a total of 18 hours of travel.
Yes.
So it's a bit hectic, you know, to get down here. But I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this. It's only a 3-month period. And I'm sure that I'll, you know, have a blast. And I'm having nothing but a blast.
And you've just opened now this past week here in Cape Town.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long you've actually been here for the rehearsals.
I arrived on February 9th. And from like February 9th in the afternoon to about February 11th is a blur, because I was really jet lagged. And I usually beat it. I'm usually pretty good at beating jet lag, because I've done so many long flights and crossed so many time zones in my life. That I'm usually pretty good at beating it. But for this one, it was just really, really wacky being on a 17-hour flight from New York to Joburg and then only having a 6-hour time difference. So it was a little strange, but yeah, I got over it, and yeah.
And then were you able to relax a bit before you went into rehearsal?
Yeah, I came here on a I think the 9th was, well, I left on the 9th and got here on the 10th. So the 10th was a Saturday. And then the Sunday we have off. And then Monday we got going.
Gosh, so it was quite quick.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, from the 9th to the 11th was a blur, and then the 12th, that was all good.
All right. Well, I want to find out much more about Tony and you, Kevin. But as you know, we ask you to choose some music. And what is your first piece, and why have you chosen it?
I chose a song off of John Mayer's newest album called Emoji of a Wave. It's just a really good song. I really, like, you know, the first time I heard it, it's just got this, like, this message of just, like, you know, depression or hardship can come, but, you know, it's just a wave, you know, and it's funny because it's like the emoji is slowly taking over the world because, you know, Apple is slowly taking over the world. So these emojis, and I just thought it was like a really, really cool name for the song. And yeah, the words just kind of really speak to me in a way when I can get over things. Like if hardship comes, I can, like, you know, kind of just play this song and be like, it's just a wave. It's all good. It's going to, you know, die out soon.
You don't have to try so hard to hurt me. Don't worry, I've been thinking about you too. What do we do? Your heart is where my head should be. The dissonance is killing me. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Oh, honey. Oh, honey. It's just a wave. It's just a wave. And I know that when it comes, I just hold on. I just hold on. I've been talking to myself just to hear you, and you're saying everything I wish you would, and it's so good. It's raining on the mission bell, they're draining out the wishing well. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Oh, honey. Oh, honey. It's just a wave. It's just a wave. And I know that when it comes, I just hold on. I just hold on. Shattered you asleep at night. It breaks my heart. It takes all the love I have to say. I know it's gonna be okay. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Hold on until it's gone.
music there selected by my guest, Kevin Hack. What was that, Kevin?
The song was called Emoji of a Wave by John Mayer.
Okay, my guest on People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio is Kevin Hack, who's in Cape Town to sing the lead role, Tony, in West Side Story, which is on here, the Fugard production at the Artscape Opera House. And it's a big, in-your-face, sort of massive production, which is well worth seeing. And Kevin, you're a singer and an actor. You didn't want me to say dancer, because that famous triple threat thing is so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I sort of automatically assumed you were a dancer.
No. I can like pick it up if I really, really practice it. It takes me a really long time, but I have no training in ballet or jazz or tap or really anything. I just kind of have to go. If I ever have any like dancing in a show, I really have to like just go home and hammer it home, because like it's something that just did not come naturally to me.
One of the things that you, I see, get a lot of rave reviews about is your singing voice. Was this trained, or was it, is it natural?
I'm going to let you in on a secret. I was not a singer my entire life. I found out I could sing when I was 18, like around 17, 18 years old. I was playing ice hockey for my whole life, from when I was like probably like 5 to quit when I was 17, right before I started.
But that was quite a big thing. It wasn't just something you played. You were like almost professional.
No, I mean, I had opportunities. You know, I had an uncle, and my uncle's friend was very, very heavy in the junior hockey world. And junior hockey is pretty much where you play to play professional, to get looked at for scouts and stuff. I had an opportunity to go try out for a team in Canada, the major junior hockey league in Canada, which is called the OHL. And it would have been cool to, like, you know, go figure out if I could have played, but I never even, like, gave it a shot. But I did have the opportunity. I just kind of, like, let it get away from me.
But there's a sort of a physical thing in your life, because I also saw somewhere that you considered being a professional bodybuilder.
Oh, no. You know, I do like bodybuilding, and I did have a desire to compete in physique. And I got to a point where I could. In 2016, I dropped like 35 pounds of body fat, and like over a 16-week period, I did a massive like cut under guidance from a bodybuilding coach. And I did a photo shoot for the cut that I did, like just kind of like a fitness thing to, like, you know, advertise my own personal training and online coaching. And my coach had told me, he's like, hey, you know, you definitely could step on stage and do all right. And I was like, okay, I can give it a shot. And he's like, you have to do 4 more weeks of dieting, and it's going to be a lot more. And I'm like, dude, I can't do it. I'm like, I'm so hungry. I just want to eat, like, you know. And I was happy with that, you know. And but it's starting to get back into my brain again that I really want to compete. So I'm like thinking, if I'm not working, like, you know, if I'm not doing something crazy like a tour or something out of the country again, out of my country, my home country, I'm going to try to get on stage in August 2019.
Good grief.
Yeah.
But also touring, as you are now with Maria, and doing a long run like this, requires a tremendous amount of physical stamina, doesn't it?
Yeah, I keep up with everything. You know, I'm in the gym 6 times a week. It's difficult, like I was saying before. Yeah. I have a tiny, tiny back injury right now, so I'm just kind of nursing that and being, you know, very, very mindful of that. But I'm in the gym 6 days a week, and I definitely, you know, monitor my diet, and I don't really drink alcohol. Like, I'll have like a drink after like an opening night or something like that, but I don't drink very much. But yeah, I'm definitely mindful of everything that has to do with my body.
One of the things you said when we opened our conversation was this production is very, very different from the ones that you've worked on recently.
Yeah,
I know Matthew Wilde, the director, has done some rather extraordinary productions here, and when I saw this the first time, I was quite struck by the sort of minimalist of it almost. What did you think when you saw it the first time? Did you think
West Side does not need a massive set? I think the more you put into West Side, the more is taken away from it. You know, it's not a minimalist story, because it's a very, very prevalent story. Unfortunately, it happens everywhere in the world, not only in Cape Town, but in America and Europe, everywhere. There are two kinds of people that don't get along. But you don't need a set. You don't need a giant set to explain that, you know? I mean, the set that I worked on the national tour was the Broadway Revival set, which is very, very minimalist. There was, like, maybe, like, 3 or 4 set pieces and, you know, just, like, a backdrop or two. There was, on the international that I just completed, was just 3 towers that moved on and off the stage. There was nothing crazy. And then Matt's set is, you know, just like that. It's very, very minimal.
I think a lot of people are slightly startled when they come into the theater, because the curtains are open and you see this huge bare stage with walls on either side,
yep,
and metal sort of scaffolding. And I know there was a big story about how many bolts and how many hours it took to put together. But
it's crazy.
Did you think, goodness me, how are we going to do this? Or were you excited by it?
I was just excited by it, honestly. Yeah. Like, I saw the set, and I thought it was actually the coolest set I was going to be working on. Because it was that huge, and it, like, reminded me of what, like, New York actually is, you know? And, like, being there all the time, like, that's what it is. It's just more or less just, like, just big open spaces with, like, yes, a whole bunch of cars and stuff, you know? Yes.
And you always see those staircases, those metal staircases.
Yeah, they're kind of iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah, the balconies are very iconic, and the fire escapes.
It's just occurred to me, of course, you live in New York. That is your home, isn't it?
Yeah, I recently just moved to New York City. I live all the way uptown on like 196th Street on Broadway. And I'm originally from New Jersey, and I will always call New Jersey home.
Kevin, what I was going to say, Kevin, is that you must bring something quite original then to the role of Tony, as you've said. You've seen these back streets of America, and these parking lots where this sort of thing happens. You've seen, presumably, and walked down them or past them.
Mm-hmm.
So that must have given you an extra insight into the role.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I mean, I don't want to say that, like, I'm the perfect Tony, but, like, you know, I've lived that life, you know. I've had a group of friends that I grew up with who are still, unfortunately, you know, stuck in town. They're not stuck, they're working jobs and things like that, but it's really hard to get out of town, like, where I'm from, and not many people do it. And you know, Tony's kind of got the same thing going on. Like, he doesn't want to necessarily get out of town, but he wants to get away from his friends, you know, and that's a hard thing when you grow up with people. You don't really, you want to get out, but at the same time, you're sort of connected to what's, you know, what you grew up with. And that's exactly what I dealt with, and it's very, very easy to relate to Tony because it's just one and the same.
Kevin Hack, what is your next piece of music? What are we going to listen to next?
We are going to listen to a song called I'll Find You by Lecrae featuring Tori Kelly.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you.
I'm hanging on by a thread, and all I'm clinging to is prayers. And every breath is like a battle. I feel like I ain't come prepared. And death's knocking on the front door. Pain's creeping through the back. Fears crawling through the windows, waiting for them to attack. They say don't get bitter, get better. I'm working on switching them letters. But tell God I'ma need a whole lot of hope keeping it together. I'm smiling in everyone's face. I'm crying whenever they leave the room. They don't know the battle I face. They don't understand what I'm going through. The world trying to play with my soul. I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way. I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you.
They say fear haunts and pain hates. I say pain strengthens and fear drives faith. And I don't know all of the outcomes. Don't know what happens tomorrow. But when that ocean of doubt comes, don't let me drown in my sorrow. And don't let me stay at the bottom. I feel like this hole is too deep to climb. I've been looking for a way out, but I'll settle for a peace of mind. Picking up the pieces of my life and hoping that I put together something right. Tell me all I got is all I need. Tell me you gon' help me stay and fight. The world trying to play with my soul. I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way. I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
No, don't let the fear make you feel like you can't fight this on your own. You know I'll be there for you no matter. got nobody to turn to. Just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to,
another choice there of my guest Kevin Hack here on People of Note on Fine Music Radio. Kevin, what was that?
That song was called I'll Find You by Lecrae featuring Tyler Kelly.
What I wanted to ask you, by the way, Kevin Hack is singing the role of Tony in West Side Story, the Fugard production, which is on here at Artscape and is getting standing ovations. You really must go and see it. It's an extraordinary afternoon or evening in the theater and very energetic. Tony doesn't dance around quite as much as the Jets and the Sharks, does he?
Thank
you
God.
Smiling because you've got a lot of other work to do, breathing and singing.
Yeah,
and
I got five songs in the first act.
Yes.
that's plenty of other work.
You do keep busy. Oh, I must ask you, which is your favorite? We associate you with Maria, and I gather that's not your favorite.
No, it's not set. My favorite Somewhere, and I think it's a recent favorite just because of how it's performed in our production.
This one, this production.
Yeah, yeah. Our vocalist, Sarah Ann, sings that song phenomenally. Like, the key has changed to change it up a little bit for a different feel, but she nails it. She, like, absolutely just nails it home, and it, like, it's so heartwarming, and it's everything it needs to be. I'm telling you, that is the best number. I think it's one of the best numbers in our entire show.
But also, Kevin, it's so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes back tragically at the end.
Oh, yeah.
When you least expect it to, at the worst and most tragic moment of the mm-hmm. piece. So I always associate that song with crying.
Yeah. It's but, I mean, if you don't know the show, and I'm not going to give anything away, it's a really, it's the only, like, real hopeful moment in the show that, when everyone is together, and then it's just completely, like, ripped apart by what comes after it. So
I mean, it's quite interestingly structured, isn't it? Because act one, which is quite long, ends with two dead bodies. We're not going to give any details. And when you go in after interval, the mood changes so dramatically.
Yeah.
And sort of goes downhill. I don't mean that negatively, I mean mood wise.
Mm.
And then they've got the Officer Kropke song, which lifts things a bit.
Yeah, I think it was put in the show there because the tragedy that was happening, you know, from the end of act one to the end of the show, it would have just been like horrible, 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 you know, the
yes,
whole time.
Yes,
in the
yes.
movie, in the latest, and like the, you know, the movie that came out back in the day, you know, they had Kropke in the beginning. They had Kropke and Cool separated. Just swapped in the movie. And it definitely shows, like, how miserable it really is if yeah. Kropke's not in the second act.
So you obviously saw the film?
Yeah, yeah.
Did it affect your performance at all?
No, because, I mean, the last time I saw the film, honestly, was 12.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was the first first musical that I ever, like, actually enjoyed. We watched it in, like, between year 5 and year 8. We have to watch a musical in music class. You know, I think 5th grade was Fiddler on the Roof, then, like, sixth grade was, I can't remember. It was something really lame. I don't remember what it was, but it was lame. I didn't like, I think it was like, it was, I don't know. I don't want to say it's lame and you know, make anybody mad. Great. Yeah. But West Side was year 12. And yeah.
Now tell me a little bit about your background. Do you come, where does this music and theater thing come from in you?
It doesn't. I think I started mentioning before that,
you started at 18.
Yeah. After I quit ice hockey, I was just hanging out, you know, with my friends, kind of doing what Tony used to do before he got out of the gang. Just not really making trouble, but not doing anything right, you know, like not like focusing on school, not focusing on college, just kind of hanging out and having a good time. And I had a friend who just kind of told me to audition for the musical because I had nothing going on. And I was like, sure, what are you guys doing? And they were doing Les Miserables that year in the high school, and I had no idea what that was. And oddly enough, I was like, is there anybody in that show that like runs around with a gun? And she was like, yeah, there actually is. And I got that part.
Who? Which character?
I played Ansara.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Ansara, okay. Yeah, the leader of the student revolutionaries.
Was this a school production?
Yeah, that was a school production, yeah.
And that was your first time on stage?
First time ever. And now I've done the role 4 times.
And so when you were much younger with your parents and all that, you come from a musical background. It was completely out the
sports.
Blue.
Sports, that was sports, it, yeah. Sports. My mother figure skated and my father played basketball.
My goodness, Kevin. Yeah. And then suddenly this at 18. And since then, have you had any vocal training? And I keep going on about that because you sound so good.
Oh, thanks.
You really nail it, as you said
earlier. I had one teacher that I met after my first production in high school. His name is Ron Sharp, and his wife, Barbara Russell, they helped me a lot. They kind of coached me through a couple of things and to like things to like listen for when I'm singing, and they kind of just taught me for like 6 months to 8 months, and they shipped me off, and they let me go run around New York City and audition, and I have their name on my resume, and a lot of people know them. Ron was in 6 original Broadway casts, and Barbara was in 3. So, I mean, their names are pretty high up there. And, I give a lot of credit to them. And I went to a thing in high school called Arts High School, and I got taught there a little bit as well for 3 months. And it's a lot of vocal coaching there as well with a classical music teacher. So,
okay.
Yeah. So,
And is Tony quite a vocal, what's the word, obstacle course?
Yeah, it's not your normal tenor roll, you know. It sits everywhere. It goes really, really low. Like, it sits really, really low in the low notes at points, and which is something I actually struggle with. And then, you know, the higher notes, like, that's kind of where I live and thrive. So like you know that, but the vocal range for Tony is a monstrosity. And you know, you're supposed to be 18 through 24 years old, and you're not supposed to sound like a really, really trained opera singer, but you don't want to sound like an untrained, you know,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So it's a weird balance.
And Maria is, of course, your big hit, isn't it? And
it has
the great, exciting, wonderful high note.
Yeah. I've sang that note. I can't even count how many times now.
And does it come easy to you, that high note?
I'd like to think so. It took me a really long time to find a groove with it. Even on the tour, like, it took me a really long time to figure out how to do it, like, you know, where I can do it the same flawlessly every single night. And, you know, it's still a work in progress.
I'm
yeah,
sure
it's,
it is.
It's still,
and
know.
I'm sure you have an off night from time to time.
Yeah.
I know one's not supposed to.
Monday is our off day. On the tour, Monday was our off day as well. But I also had the Saturday matinees off because I had an alternate who used to go on for me on the matinee on Saturday.
Guess what? We got crossed wires there. What I meant was an off night performance-wise where perhaps you're not on top of your... You just think right.
No, I mean, weird things always happen, but you know, you kind of gotta shake it off and just, you know, make fun of yourself for it for a little bit, and that's it.
Did you ever see that documentary of Leonard Bernstein making the recording?
I did.
Jose Carreras.
Yeah.
And remember
how
he was given a hard time by Bernstein? And I was listening to you on Sunday, Something's Coming, because in that documentary, Jose Carreras really struggled with that piece rhythmically, and you made it seem as though it was the easiest thing in the world.
Well, it's, I think for me in the show, Something's Coming is my favorite song to sing. It's not usually a favorite by the audience, but it's my favorite song to perform because it is like, it's just a marathon, you know? It's like such an exciting piece of music. You get to run around the stage, and like, it's just such a good time to sing. And I think Jose Carreras had such a hard time with it just because of his language, you know, his accent. Yes. You know, it's a, I don't know if this will make any sense to the listeners, but it's a word salad of a song. You know, it's just, it's really, really wordy, and it's hard to get all the words out sometimes. Like, I've had some monstrosity mess ups in that song in points of my life.
And it is apparently rhythmically very fit with the rhythm.
Yeah.
And you see Bernstein working with Carreras,
and he wanted it perfectly. Like, Charles, our music director and conductor, lets me have fun with it. But I mean, on the international tour, I was under Donald Chen, who is like the overseer of every West Side Story production that happens for the music side. And he was very, very on top of me, just like Leonard Bernstein was on top of Jose Carreras. Like, there was no room for any kind of modulation in any of the songs. It had to be very, very exact to the music.
Now, look, Kevin, let's have another piece of music.
And we are going to listen to How Would You Feel by Ed Sheeran now.
You are the one, girl, and you know that it's true. I'm feeling younger every time that I'm alone with you. We were sitting in a parked car, stealing kisses in the front yard. We got questions we should not ask, but how would you feel if I told you I love you? It's just something that I want to do. I'll be taking my time, spending my life, falling deeper in love with you. So tell me that you love me too. In the summer, as the lilacs bloom, love flows deeper than a river every moment that I spend with you. We were sat upon our best friend's roof. I had both of my arms round you, watching the sunrise replace the moon. How would you feel told you I loved you? It's just something that I want to do. I'll be taking my time, spending my life, falling deeper in love with you. Tell me that you love me too. And kisses in the front yard. We got questions we should not ask. How would you feel if I told you I love you? It's just is something that I want to do. Taking my time, spending my life, falling deeper in love with you. Tell me that you love me too. Tell me that you love me too. Tell me that you love me too.
Another choice of my guest, Kevin Hack, here on People of Note. Kevin, tell us what that was.
That was How Would You Feel by Ed Sheeran.
Kevin Hack is singing the role of Tony in West Side Story, the Fugard production that's on here at the Artscape Opera House. A really spectacular production. And opposite him, as Maria from The Sharks, is Linnell Kennard. And this must be quite important, Kevin. You must think when you're in the plane, I wonder what the Maria's like. I wonder what the Maria's like. Am I going to click? Are we going to have chemistry? Am I going to enjoy singing with her? Will our voices match? So tell us about Linnell. You have to be nice, you know, because we all love her.
No, I am in that category as well. She was, like, the most welcoming person ever. When I met her, like, she was just nothing but smiles and nothing but positive energy when I met her. And I felt so welcomed by her. And I know, like I was saying before, I knew I was stepping into some big shoes with, you know, with Jonathan playing the role before me. And I was a bit nervous, you know, to see if the cast would welcome me, especially, you know, Linnell. And she was nothing but just, like, arms open wide, very, very welcoming. And I was very, very fortunate.
Oh, that's
great.
Yeah. And the cast in general, it's a tremendously vibrant cast, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure you will agree that the Jets and the Sharks are tremendously
Everybody's great. Everybody's great. I love them all. They're just, their energy, separately, their energy together, everything, they're just amazing people.
And how do you like our theater, the Artscape Opera House?
It's so nice. It's so nice. It's one of the nicest theaters I've performed in. Nicest looking. I don't know how big it is. I think it's 1,500?
Something like that.
It's a nice size house. It doesn't, you know, I don't think theaters need to necessarily be bigger than 2,000 people. I have performed in bigger ones, but this is a very, very nice size, and the stage is fantastic.
And apparently the backstage, all the
humongous
people say backstage is wonderful too.
Humongous, yeah. It's not cramped at all. There's room everywhere. So
it really sounds though you're having a wonderful experience here. Because you're speaking very highly of Artscape, of the cast. And are you able to say where Cape Town might rate in your favorite cities? And if you don't say at the top, that's fine with us.
It's top three. It's definitely top three. I would say...
Are you serious now, Kevin?
Yeah, I am. It's definitely top three. I would say it's somewhere with Tokyo and with Auckland.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you had a chance to look around Cape Town?
Yeah, I did. I did a couple things. You know, just I tried some, you know, the like local restaurants around here that are pretty good. I did do Lion's Head. I hiked Lion's Head. I think it was a week ago, and that was unbelievable. We did sunrise. Sorry, and yeah, 5 a.m. wake up and then hike up at 6 a.m. Saw the sunrise. It was absolutely beautiful. And I'm excited. I'm going to do Table Mountain soon, I think, too, when my back starts to heal up a little bit.
Walking or going up in the cable car?
Oh, definitely going to hike it. Yeah, okay. Definitely going to hike it.
Because the cable car has its own good points, of course.
Yeah.
Because of that wonderful revolving
Maybe thing. I'll do it twice. I don't know. Hike it once and then take the cable car once.
That just makes me think, what happens at the end of this run? Are you then finished with this production?
Yeah, I'm finished with this production, and then I'm going home. I actually... If you guys want to say a prayer for me or good luck for me, I just got a call back for a production of Oklahoma that's going on in America. So I got to do a video for that since I'm not in America right now.
which role would you say?
Curly.
Oh, Curly, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Silly question.
Yeah.
Kevin, you said say a prayer for you, and one of the things I've picked up is that you are first and foremost a Christian.
Yeah, I am.
And very proud of it and very open about it. And... Also, I was reading somewhere that, you know, sometimes when actors are about to go on for a big role, they do funny things. I believe it's called jujus or weird thing.
Yeah.
Press-ups or doing or a lucky charm or whatever. And your secret weapon is?
Prayer. Just prayer. I pray for the cast. I pray for my health. I pray for the safety of everybody on stage. Cast, crew, the creatives, whoever is in the building, really.
Have you been a Christian all your life?
I haven't. I found my faith in, I'd like to say it was mid-September in 2016.
Oh, as recently as
that? Yeah, recently, yeah. My parents were believers for about 10 years now, but we did not grow up like Christian, so.
Okay, I'm going to try this question, but you don't have to answer it. Then we can move on. What happened to cause you to become a Christian?
Just had a really, really dark past. I was working on a cruise ship, and I won't go into detail, but I met somebody and was really hurt by this person, and found myself just in like a really, really deep kind of depression. And yeah, just like a whole bunch of things like from like my like further past, like when I was like a young teenager and things like that were like coming back up in my life and haunting me. And came home from the contract, you know, a month or two later, and my parents had invited me to church, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go and find out what this is all about, you know. And I went and I met the young adult pastor there, my pastor Sean, who invited me in to a meeting for the young adults on a Thursday night, and I went and fell in love and gave my life to God. And yeah.
What a nice story. What an excellent story.
Yeah.
And nice to know that you pray. So you're saying you pray at each performance?
Yeah, yeah. Either right before I go on, or like, you know, in my dressing room, like when I'm like finished. I do like push-ups and things like that as well, just to kind of get blood flowing and things like that. So. Yeah.
And most importantly, I hope you pray afterwards as well to thank.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I would usually, before I go to bed, not all the time, I usually pray in the morning. I'm usually like a morning quiet time person. That's usually when I do like all my thanking and like my praise and things like that. Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to have another piece of music.
Yeah. And it's funny that I saved this one for last and we were talking about that. This is Dear God by Smokey Narfle.
And Kevin, why have you chosen that?
It's just a huge part of my testimony. The lyrics are very, 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 very simple lyrics, and it's just a thankful song. It's praising Jesus for who he is, and you know all the thanks that we the singer Smokey Narfle and I have for him. It's like the first song that I really, really related to when I found my faith. So I was really like, you know, this song is just one that really, really spoke to me, and I listen to it all the time.
It feels so good to make it this far, and I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit, and I said, surely this is it, but I held on. And I've watched as so-called friends turned and walked away, and it hurt so much I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen, and all the moments I know, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I'd fail, I was reminded of your nails. So I held on. And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life.
For every victory in you I've seen. Oh, and for the moment, God, I know you kept me. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for my life. I realize some didn't make it. I could have been one of the ones who lost my way. And there were times, Lord, I know I almost went crazy. Oh, but I'm still here, oh, with my life. So, for my life. You kept me. Yes, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for my life. It may not be all that I'd hoped for, and every dream has not yet been realized. But to see your face one day, God, I know it's all gonna be worth it. Yeah, yeah, Lord. So I thank you for every mountain, every valley, God, everything that you brought me through. Thank you for. I just want to take the time to say thank you, Jesus, for my life. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for my life.
A very special song there from my guest, Kevin Hack. And it was called, Kevin?
Dear God by Smokey Norfolk.
There you are. And a nice way to end the music side of our show.
Yeah.
But before I let you go and get some rest for your performances, we spoke about your healthy lifestyle. And it seems also that emotionally and mentally you try to be healthy as well, with the help of prayer and positive thinking and things like that. But I see you very, very generous in thanking people like family, coaches, teachers who've helped you on your road to your career in a really rather generous way.
Yeah, I will never forget where I came from. I'll never forget my family. I'll never forget the friends. I'll never forget the coaches, the mentors, the lunches, the countless lunches I've had with people just growing up. I'll never forget any of it.
Do you spend a lot of time researching a role? I mean, apart from learning the notes and the words, do you actually go into it, especially a new role? Tony, you're old friends with Tony now.
Yeah, I actually am going to be doing quite a bit of that with Oklahoma, just for this callback. I don't really know much about this show. I know it's a really, really classic show, but I need to do a lot of homework on it to, like, you know, really nail it home to make sure that I get the job.
Have you done any of the Andrew Lloyd Webber hits?
No, but I've sang some of his music. I've sang some Phantom stuff, and, you know, I've sang a song from a lesser known musical of his called Aspects of Love.
Oh yes. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
And, you know, just like here and there, like things like that.
And when you relaxing and listening to music at home, is it the sort of music that you've been sharing with us today?
Yeah, a lot of Ed Sheeran, a lot of John Mayer, a lot of I work out to Lecrae, because Lecrae is like usually a Christian rapper. And that kind of like gets me going. The modern rap day music is kind of vulgar, and like it's not my favorite thing to listen to. I'll listen to it sometimes, but it's not like my favorite thing to listen to. And you know, my worship music, Smokey Norfolk, and just like a whole bunch of other things I'll listen to like in the morning, getting ready. But yeah, just it's like really just like a big mix of stuff.
Do you have a, I'm probing here, do you have a family? You said you were 25.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I got a mom and a dad. They're great. They're fantastic people. They wish they could be here, but unfortunately they can't. They work. And then my brother, he's going to be 20 in July, and I have a sister who's going to be 18.
And you have a girlfriend.
I do, yeah.
And she's not here.
She's not, unfortunately. Yeah. She's home in the city as well. She's just auditioning like crazy.
Oh, she also an actress.
Yeah, she's an actress as well. She funny enough, was a Maria, the Maria on the international tour with me for a year. And then we professionally started exclusively dating after she left the tour.
I see, okay. But then you can't get to see much of each other.
We do, just when I'm home. We spent 4 weeks together when I was home between the international tour and this one. Okay. So yeah, but you know, it's just part of the business, and we love each other, so it's definitely worth it.
It's lovely to hear. It's a lovely vibe coming from you, Kevin,
yeah,
of positiveness, of peace, of sincerity. So I wish you well for the remainder of your stay here in Cape Town, and for the wonderful display of vocal pyrotechnics you're giving us, physical and vocal, and really make the most of it. And I hope you don't get tired of Tony too soon.
No, I won't. I love coming to work every single day. It's just so great.
All right.
Yeah.
So go along and see Kevin Hack as Tony, along with Linnell Kennard as he's Maria, in this extraordinary production of West Side Story on here at the Artscape Opera House. It's a Fugard Theatre, Eric Abrams production, directed by Matthew Wilde. And I know it's only got a limited run. I think it's until the 8th of March. So make sure you get your tickets. And Kevin, thank you, and all the very best to you.
Thank you very much. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at Kevin J. Hack. I post a lot there.
People of Note was brought to you by Peter Tureen Productions.
An innocent look in passing that would lead to the biggest mistake of his life. From the screenwriter of the award-winning film comes the thrilling stage adaptation of Fatal Attraction, starring Ashley Dowd. With temptation, some things cannot be ignored. Some things will go on and on and on. Because in the game of affairs, nothing is fair. Don't miss Fatal Attraction at Theatre on the Bay from 16 March to 7 April.
FM.